And so it is my pleasure, and I would love for us to give him a warm welcome, to welcome Jesh Beadle from Mission Global to come and share with us this morning.
That was a lot. Like a lot. I don't know about the sharpest mind, but I looked forward to this day one day. Jen, unfortunately, isn't in the room, meaning Curtis's wife. So I will hold on that. But glad it is so good to be with you. And I genuinely mean that. My wife, Jill, is from Sudbury. The little part of our heart is in the north. And I genuinely mean that. I had some time to serve with the one and only Curtis Goodry. And yes, I will say it like that, day in and day out. All day. He's been boss man. He continues to be boss man to me even after, you know, our ways have kind of changed. But keeping in close, Curtis was a great leader. You are in good hands. I mean it. You are in good hands. But you as a church, my prayer is that glad would be, does anyone say this? Like the cheesy way of saying, glad will be glad. Does anyone say that? No. Okay. Let's start. It's going to be good. I want to give a little bit of my journey. Segue. My wife is afraid whenever I get this mic because she never knows what's going to come out of my mouth. Someone got scared there. Don't worry. It'll be good. It'll be Christian. On a real note, I spent some time with Curtis for 5 years in sunny Sunridge, and we had an awesome time. And a lot of my journey, you know, I am the person who I am, and I largely say, yes, it's because of Jesus Christ, but I would also say it's because of a leader like Curtis. Now, you might be asking, Jesh, what is your background? I'm Sri Lankan. I'm not Indian, just in case you wanted to know. I celebrate my Indian people, absolutely. But I'm Sri Lankan. And we're talking about the missional heart of God. And I've been on this journey, and it's been recent, but let me tell you, it has captured a large part of who I am. I'm Sri Lankan. I came here when I was about 3 years old into Canada, settling into Southern Ontario. Yes. Dun, dun, dun. Who said that? That's my wife. Settling in. But my journey even goes back farther than that. See, I'm about 4 generations of Christian. Now, what does that actually mean? We could have a theological conversation about that. But 4 generations of Christian. And I am so grateful for that. I'm grateful that my parents were able to disciple me. I'm grateful that all of this happened and I get to stand here in front of you. But generations ago, someone decided that they would get off from their country, that God was calling them, and that they would plant a school in a rural village in Sri Lanka. Years and years and years before I was even born. And that they would plant this school so that they could help raise the standard of education. And yes, it's important because that standard of education, when it was raised, it helped my great-grandmother get a better-paying job, something else. But in the process of having this education, she was introduced to the gospel. And one life that was changed, changed a generation and changed a few more generations. And here it is. Here I am, being able to call people. And my heart is that we would see generations and more generations sent and mobilized for the kingdom of God. I get to be the byproduct of that. But my heart is that maybe God might be calling you. So we're going to journey, and I think it's going to be good. Any university students here, any high school students that just wrapped up your exams, throw your hands up. No, just a few of you. Okay, I see someone in the back. Good job. Guess what? Class is back in session. Yeah, I know you graduated and you're just like, I'm at church. I'm not supposed to be doing this. We're going to have a little bit of fun today, and we're going to do a little bit of trivia. Okay? So if you have the right answer, you'll throw your hands up for true a little bit. If you have the right answer, you're going to throw your hands up for false. Here is a question for you. One, and this is going to segue into what we're going to talk about. There are more evangelicals in Africa than in all of North America combined. How many of you believe that's true? Throw your hands up. Okay. How many of you believe that is false? Throw your hands up. Okay, no judgment. We're on a journey today. Don't worry, I'm not giving you grades. The answer is true. Give yourself a round of the applause. Good job. Here is another question. For every $100,000 that Christians make, how much do they give to reach people groups who have never heard about Jesus? Okay, we're going to go row by row. A, $1,000. B, $100. C, $200. And D, $2. Okay? I wish I had the Jeopardy soundtrack playing right now. If you think it's A, throw your hands up. Anyone with A, okay? For every single $100,000 that Christians make, how much goes to reach people groups who have never heard about Jesus? You said A, $1,000. How many of you think it's B, $100? Throw your hands up. Remember, these are people groups who have never heard about Jesus, okay? You're solidified in your answer. C, $200. Throw your hands up. Yeah, nobody better be using ChatGPT. The Lord is watching you right now. Okay. Finally, D, $2. Okay, ye of little faith, but you're right. Unfortunately, it is about $2, and to be more specific, it's about $185. Now, I got to be honest with you. I do feel like that number is going to start changing soon, and we are starting to see people come together and know that there are unreached people groups, and there's a trajectory and momentum that is moving forward to see that happen, but yes, we do have some more work to go. Here's another question. One in 30 global workers / missionaries will go to unreached people groups. True or false? Now, what do we mean by this question? Sometimes we go to places that already has the gospel and their people groups have been evangelized and shared to, and they're actually the ones that are now starting to go out. One in 30 global workers, if you believe this is true, put your hands up. One in 30 global workers will go to unreached people groups. One in 30. Okay. False, throw your hands up. Some of you didn't answer the question. I'll watch that. The answer is true. The answer is true. Some of that information could be a little bit heartbreaking. But here is my prayer. I pray that this would raise awareness and this would not cause guilt and condemnation. You see, God's good news is meant to be shared. It's not something that we should keep to ourselves, and that's the journey that we are going to be going on. Now, if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We're going to camp there for a little bit, and we're going to get there. But here's what I want to say. When I was doing Bible college, and nothing bad about Bible college at all. In fact, I'm a huge supporter of that. I want to see more people go there. But I feel like I actually did miss some of the missional heart of God. Okay, anyone read a book that was really good and that got turned into a movie? Throw your hands up. Anyone read a really good book that got turned into a movie? That was my journey. I read this book about, yes, it's about dragons. This was when I was younger. It was cool. It was called Aragorn. And I loved Aragorn as a book. I mean, yeah, there's a few throwing your hands up and they're happy. Good. But you know what happened? They made a movie. So on Cheap Tuesday, because that's all I could afford when I was a kid. On Cheap Tuesday, we went to the movie theater and I was looking at Aragorn and I came out of that theater and I am wondering, Father, what did they do to my movie? What happened to the book? The book was so in depth, you could feel the characters, you knew the heart, you knew the emotions that were coming out of some of these characters, you knew the heart of the author. But sometimes we miss the heart of the author. And if I could be honest with you, sometimes, and this is where I felt like I missed the heart of God. You see, in every single book of the Bible, we do see a God with a missional heart. And sometimes we miss that. It's like a book turning into a movie. It was supposed to be good, and sometimes we miss that. unfortunately. And here's what Christopher J.H. Wright says. He says, and he's a missiologist, and he would say this, mission arises from the heart of God himself and is communicated from his heart to ours. Mission is the global outreach of the global people of a global God. I mean, this is good. God's heart is global. I'm driving through, and I'm going through one of the highways. I don't know what it is, but it's got all the flags. I still don't know this highway, and I've driven through it multiple times. And I love that. I'm here at GLAAD, and I get to see some of the nations represented, and I love it. Our God is a global God. And if I was to ask you this, sometimes we look at our Bible verses and we know where God's great commission might be. And if you don't, that is totally okay. We're learning about that today. And we go over to the New Testament. But here's the thing. God's heart actually started long before that for his people to be on mission. You see, God the Father sent Jesus the Son so that all would be saved. That's the prayer. That is the hope. And God the Father and Jesus the Son then sent the Holy Spirit so that we would be a church that is empowered, that is on mission. Are you seeing this? Like in the very core and in the very DNA of who God is, there is a sentness to him. God's heart is missional. In the very book of Genesis, if you're looking at it, you are starting to see the first commandment is, hey, go fill the earth, multiply, fill it with God's goodness. There's a sending nature. God's heart is missional. We sang that other song, right? Holy, holy, holy. Very end of the book, very end of the Bible in Revelation. Every single book of the Bible, you will start seeing God's heart so that people groups can get to know him. You are talking about a God who is missional in his very DNA. Why is that important? Because if God is missional, then church, we got to be missional. Now I'm going to go through a little bit here. And if you are taking pictures, you could take a picture of this. But this is the mission of God, the Jash version that is super condensed. Because if we went through all of this, we would not have time to do this. But here's the mission of God, super condensed, starting at the very beginning. You see, God creates a humanity, and this humanity has a purpose to fill the earth, spread it, fill the earth with God's goodness. Unfortunately, humanity does choose to disobey. God wants his people to scatter, fill the earth. Humanity chooses to disobey. Sin enters the earth. But here's where God is still on mission. He picks the first person that is going to go. His name is Abraham. And Abraham, and this is where we're going to go and we're going to look at, he was actually given this task. He was blessed to be a blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, blessed to be a blessing. But there is a purpose that is given to Abraham. Then we see Israel was chosen to be a representative, a light to the nations. If you're actually looking at Levitical law, there's actually part of them were supposed to leave the gleanings of their farm so that the poor and the foreigner among them could have access to it. Israel, unfortunately, falls short of their mission. But the beautiful part is Jesus comes on scene, redeeming and reconciling us back into right relationship with him. God is redeeming all of creation. That is why you and I are here today. And as people respond in obedience, God will ultimately receive worship from every single language, from every single tribe, from every single tongue, and that is good. Did you hear yourselves when you're singing, holy, holy, holy? That is beautiful. That is good, church. We want more of that. But there are people groups, church, that need access to that too. There are people groups that might be missing up in heaven that need access, that get to sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So we're going to look at a theme, and we're going to be looking at what it means to be blessed. And there is a purpose that God has given us. You were blessed to be a blessing. I'm going to say this again. Say it to your neighbor. Say, blessed to be a blessing. So this is one of our themes. We could look into many different themes, but here is one of our themes for blessed to be a blessing, and specifically we'll look into Genesis chapter 12, but here are some of the verses. And why am I doing this? This is like, you guys got a whack load of information. You guys got some true and false. You're just like, Josh, I'm back in class. This is not what church is supposed to be. It's because I want to highlight the importance of the mission of God. It's not something that is just a New Testament thing. It is all throughout Scripture. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Psalm 67. Psalm 72, Malachi chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3. Blessed to be a blessing. There's a purpose in your life, church. And you might be standing here, you might be saying, Josh, I don't know what I'm blessed with. By the end of today, I'm going to tell you, you were blessed to be a blessing. God has put something on your life. God has given you something good. You were blessed to be a blessing with a purpose. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and it says this, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Highlight this in your Bible or on your phone. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. That's a little bit scary, I know. But God still does some blessing in there. And all people on earth will be what? All people on earth will be blessed through you. And here is where we go. You see, God had given us a blessing. There's three promises that were given to Abraham. I will bless you, and you will be a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Three different blessings, but here is where we don't want to miss it. There's a huge purpose clause here. And that purpose clause is that all people on earth will be blessed through you. What has God given you? What is the blessing that God has put on your life? I'm going to be honest with you. I prayed these prayers. God, I pray that you would bless me. There's this interesting meme and reel that I sent to my wife one day. You know, God, you have blessed me maybe with a little bit of trying to navigate church struggles and different things. Amen. God, you have blessed me with an amazing family. And I'm praying these prayers, and I'm asking God to keep blessing me and blessing me. But I started realizing something. What is God actually blessing me for? What is the purpose that God has actually blessed me with? Because whenever God gives a blessing, there's also a purpose for the blessing. Yes, he wants to show you his goodness. He wants to show you his love. But let me ask you a question. Has the blessing that God has given you, is it also meant to bless someone else? Right here, right now, you might have access to education. Let me tell you something. You are part of an elite club. Because a lot of the world actually doesn't have adequate access to education, helping to raise the standard and to helping them find, you know, jobs that could help bring them out of the poverty cycle. What has God given you? Maybe some of you are making some. You're making some money. And God has blessed you with that. Listen, that's not bad. God has blessed you with it. But maybe God is asking you, hey, would you be a blessing with what I have given you? And ultimately, you might be standing here, and you might be saying, Josh, what has God blessed me with? I don't have money. I might not have education. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus into your life, you have the ultimate blessing, church. You have the ultimate blessing. You got the good news inside of you. You got the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have transformation that is in your life. That is the ultimate good news. You see, when we are looking at this verse, it's not just about Abraham. You fast forward, and here we are in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing that was given to Abraham might come to the who? To the Gentiles, people that might not have access, that were outside of the Jewish customs. So that by faith,
we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says this: if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Listen, you are heirs according to the promise that was given to Abraham. Yes, there's some blessings inside of there. Yes, God has blessed you. But let's not forget the purpose clause. God has blessed you to be a blessing so that all nations, all people groups, every single tribe gets to have access to the gospel. What has God blessed you with? Jess, you're making a pretty big deal about blessed to be a blessing. I want to show you something. We are at this fantastic location. Look at this. We're at Glad Tidings Church. We zoom out. Now, those green dots mean that people do have access to the gospel here. Red dots, they have less than maybe 2 or 2.5% access within their own people group to the gospel. Here's Ontario. Yes, we have some people groups that have came over. They need access to the gospel too. But let's zoom out of Ontario for a second, and let's go to some other parts of our world globally. So we're moving. We're moving and grooving. Look at all those green dots down in South Africa. That's a good thing. The gospel has gone to those people groups. Absolutely. But if you look at North Africa, the red dots that are along that line, those are people groups that don't have access to the gospel. Now, if we go over to India and we're going over to South Asia and some other places, church, those are people groups who don't have access to the gospel. And God loves every single one of them. And He wants His good news to go. You see, the mission is God's. But we get a partner in His mission, and that is good. There are people groups who have little to no access to the gospel. We have this beautiful building, and God has blessed it. We have churches that would be in Sudbury, and that's a good thing. We do need more churches. We do need more planting. We do need people in Canada to know Jesus Christ. But church, there are also people groups who have no access. They may live, breathe, and die and never come close to seeing a church building, never come close to a Christian. The gospel is for everyone, and we need people to go. God has given us access here in Canada, and that is a good thing, and we want more people to know Jesus. And if you look into your neighborhood, what you might come across are lost people. Now, there's a difference between lost and unreached. You see, lost people have you. They have a follower of Christ. Lost people might walk by a church and they have access to seeing a church building. They have access to the gospel. They have resources that might assist in that and facilitate to help them know who Jesus Christ is. Unreached people groups, there may be no church building. There may be no follower of Christ within their people group. Now, here's the thing that I want us to be careful of. This isn't about elitism. God's gospel goes everywhere. We still need people to share the gospel in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to the ends, the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen? So we got to share the gospel, but I'm highlighting our people groups here because if you want to know the truth, there's about 3.58 billion people who have little to no access to the gospel. You're probably looking at 42% of our population of the world has little to no access to the gospel. And we want Jesus known. We want Jesus to be made famous. We want people to experience the transformation power that they have, that the gospel has. But there's over 3 billion people, according to JoshuaProject.net, who have little to no access to the gospel. There's about 7,000 plus people groups who have little to no access to the gospel. You saw this in the trivia, Steph. For every single $100,000 that Christians make, we give about 180 or 185 USD to reach the unreached.
What has God blessed you with? What has God given you? Yes, he's given you the good news. But what else has God given you? What else has God blessed you with? Think about it right now. Has he given you a well-paying job? Has he given you life experiences that you can pour into other people so that the gospel can also be shared? What has God blessed you with? I want to share a couple stories, and this is KP. I can't really show their faces because they're in some of our restricted access contexts. And here is KP. KP is a young guy. He's just about like a couple years older than I am. And KP knew what the blessing of God was on his life. But it's interesting because KP's journey actually started off in high school. And he went to this high school. They did a mission trip at this high school, went to this context, and he's just like, yeah, God, I'm not doing this. And then someone in the mission trip comes to him, one of the locals, and you're just like, hey, when are you coming back? He was like, I'm not coming back. But as God started to work on his heart, God started saying, hey, actually, you are called. You are called to go. So KP starts to realize that the blessing that God has also given him is access to education. And what KP is trying to do is that he's trying to take business as mission. So he goes to school and he starts getting his education. He gets his undergrad in business. And the prayer and the hope is that he would use it overseas so that he could build relationship with other people, that business would be a way of helping bring economic uplift, but also as a method to share the gospel. He realizes that God has blessed him in that area. Work is also worship unto God, church. So KP is going and he feels his call and he gets to his location. And I can't, unfortunately, share the location. But he gets to the location, and everything that he has planned for actually kind of changes, unfortunately. There's this huge flood that happens. It is taking out some communities. It's going on. He gets there. He connects with a local group of believers, and that's a beautiful thing. We partner with what God might already be doing, and if there is no access, the prayer and the hope is that we would empower our local people so that they can also share the gospel to their own people group. So he gets connected with these local believers, and this flood is still happening, but it's hard. Roads are washed out. Getting to a certain village is really tough. And there is this certain village. It's a Hindu village. And in this country, actually, Hinduism is the minority. And this village is forgotten. The government won't go and help them out, giving resources to help them. Their own families didn't want to make the trek. But this group of believers that KP was partnered with said, you know what? No matter how hard it is, we're just gonna pack some care packages. We're gonna go up to this village. We want to make sure that they're safe, that they're okay. And they go up to this village and they give these resources. And they keep doing this time and time and time again. And ultimately, it comes to this place where the leader of this Hindu village comes up and says, hey, why are you doing this? Our families didn't come. The government didn't come. Why are you doing this? And they get to share the gospel. They say, actually, we're followers of Christ. And they get to share the good news. Guess what? That whole village ends up coming to Jesus Christ. The village leader there, we're going to call her Lola. And here's the thing. In Hinduism, yes, they have many gods, and they were actually discipled and saying, hey, before we actually baptize you in water, we want to make sure that you know what the gospel is because there's only one God. And they repented, they changed off their ways, they're following the one true living God. And this leader, Lola, some of the stuff that she used to do is take some stacks of papers, and she fought for people that they would be free from the brick factories, because when you're in this context, there are brick factories and there's some slavery, and some of it's actually not supposed to happen at all. So she is contending with the courts, and she's trying to set some people free that she knows from her village. They're stuck in these brick factories, but now Lola has amplified that, and here's what she says. You know, before I used to just set people free, now I set them free
for God. And she's continuing to do this. Now, KP has been on this journey, and now he's also getting to the point where he gets to do business as mission, and he's looking at God, what can I plant? What can I do to bring economic uplift? What can I do to help these people group, to love them, to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, but to also share the gospel? And KP is at that place. Let me tell you about RNS. Here is a beautiful couple. I got to sit with them and have lunch and just hear their stories, and I was so blessed. You see, R and S are this amazing couple that came from an Asian context. And they came and they tried to give their kids a better life here, get them into the education system, do all that. But in prayer, when they were fasting and praying one time, they felt like God was actually calling them back. Both at a separate time, both spoken to in separate ways by God. And here is a couple that has come, and God has blessed them with a good life here in Canada. God has blessed their kids. They get a good education here. God has blessed them immensely. But here is the beautiful part. God has also blessed them with the gospel, and they know that there is nothing else like the gospel. God calls them. And they go back home. And in this context, in their context, the southern part, yeah, they might have a little bit of access to the gospel, but here's what they're doing. They got, both of them have their MDivs. And they went back, and what they realized is the northern part, yes, it's hostile to the gospel. But if we can train leaders and we can do outreach to the northern parts and we can bring some of the leaders back down to the south and we can give them Bible college education, whatever it might be, so that they can go, therefore, and make more disciples in the northern parts, now they are releasing leaders. Call back. They had a great life. They still have an amazing life. Whatever they were blessed with, they knew that God had bless them to be a blessing. So they chose to go back. Parent, what if your child is called? Would you release them? And I know this is hard. And I got our three little boys. And one of the prayers that I pray over them is, God, I pray it would be your will. And if you call them, if you call my boys to go, it's going to be scary. I know it's going to be scary. But my prayer is ultimately, God, that they would do your will. And that's the scary part. I know at some point I got to release my children to do what God has asked them to do. Parent, leader, maybe you're here and you're starting to feel that. What is God saying to you? And simply, it might be that there are people in your own backyard that need the gospel. Absolutely, please do that. Church, we got to be missional. That's the heart of our Father. That's who we have to be in our lifestyle, not just in one-offs, every single day. But maybe God might be calling you. What can you do? Let's keep it simple. You can pray, you can give, and you can go. Prayer works miracles. Every single night with our babies, we pray, God, would you send people to unreached people groups? Joe might not know that, but I actually do that with our boys. God, would you send people to unreached people groups? Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. God, would you send people? Would you start praying for people groups specifically by name, praying that God would open their eyes and their ears? You can give. I'm so excited to see what's happening in this church. Let's get that mortgage paid off, church. Absolutely, let's get that mortgage paid off. I was talking with Pastor Curtis, and it's so that the mission of God within this church, whether that's helping with staffing, whether that's sending and helping global workers, that there can be more finances that can help people. Would you give? And ultimately, here is what I'm asking you. Would you consider going? You see, when we talk about calling, sometimes it can get scary, right? God, is this it fully? Here is my question to you. What is God asking you? What have you been blessed with? And what is your, simply this, what is your next faithful step to be on mission with God? Church, we need to see more people go. We need business entrepreneurs in North Africa. We really do. We have teachers and other opportunities that have popped up speaking at international schools. We need more teachers. We need more educators. We need more admin and HR assistants to help us in some of these contexts. Maybe God has put the next generation on your heart for campus ministry. Listen, I have an amazing couple. Every single year, after Christmas is done, just a few days later, they go to Thailand. And they're older. They're probably in their 60s, maybe closer to the 70s. And every single year, they go for about 5 months to spend time with campus students. And they're just like grandma and grandpa and loving on these students. And that love is being shown to them. And some of them are receiving Jesus Christ because they get to see the love of God in them. Would you consider going? So, church, I'm going to leave you with this, the final step. What has God blessed you with? What has God blessed you with, and how could you be a blessing? What is your next faithful step towards God's global mission? We want to see more people on the field. I'll be at the back. I would love to chat with you about ways that you can go. We want to see more people like you serving God globally. Glad, so good to be with you. Thank you so much.